It's a great joy and a privilege to worship the Lord in your midst this morning. And as we begin to read God's Word, would you open with me the book of Genesis, chapter 19. The book of Genesis, chapter 19. And we'll read starting from verse 1 through 29. This is God's holy, infallible Word. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Up! Get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor. I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. May the Lord bless these words to our souls this morning. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer, asking his blessing. Our Lord, to whom else shall we go? And the words of eternal life is with you. Lord, we pray that you open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The scene of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19, I may say one of the most terrifying scenes in the scripture. Whole city, big place, multitude of people were just burned on one day by the Lord. What a picture. What a picture. It's a sobering picture. And the name of these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, has been known throughout the redemptive history. People know them. Even now, if you say these words, many people will understand what you are talking about, even if they are not Christians. The names of these cities will have its echo in their ears. It's a terrifying story. And Christ himself used this story as an illustration, a shadow of what's going to happen on the last day, on the judgment day. He say, remember Sodom and Gomorrah. In Luke chapter 17, this is what Christ himself says. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. This is what Christ himself is saying. He's referring to this chapter. He's referring to this incident. But Christ also was not just referring to Sodom and Gomorrah. Christ was referring to a very famous person in the scene, Lot. And I may call him Lot the Righteous. He's a righteous Lot. He's a righteous man. He's a believer. Yet he was in this place. And in order to understand what brought Lot to this place, we need to understand the whole context of these chapters. Why did Moses bring this chapter in the story of the book of Genesis? How it relates to the book of Genesis, and how this relates to Lot, a righteous person. What would a righteous man do in such wicked place? A place that is so wicked that the Lord rained fire and burned to the ground. Very wicked place. We have seen a glimpse of its wickedness in the reading that I just read. What would bring a man in this place? That's why the title of our sermon today, it's A Righteous Person in the Wrong Place. And I have three main points to share with you this morning. First, the context. What is the context of this story? Second, we will talk about Lot, and I would call him Lot the backslider. And thirdly, we will see our great God, our righteous and merciful God. First, the context. This scene in Genesis 19 does not come suddenly in the scripture. It comes in the book of Genesis, and the big picture of the book of Genesis is like that. It starts in Eden, Genesis 1 and 2, the Garden of Eden in the presence of God. And if you see the end of the book of Genesis, what is it? It's in Egypt, and not only in Egypt, it's in a tomb in Egypt. Joseph is being buried in Egypt. Can you think of this big difference? The Garden of Eden and the tomb in Egypt, away from the Lord. And the book of Genesis is showing us what happened to human beings, those who used to to be in the presence of God in the garden, Adam and Eve. With this title, if I may give a title for the story in the Garden of Eden, I shall be their God and they shall be my people. This was the scene. This is what man was created for. And the end of the story, a tomb in Egypt, away from the presence of God. What happened? The book of Genesis, very early on, tells us what happened. A fall took place. Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree. They rebelled against God. And they were expelled from the presence of God. They were expelled from the presence of God. And instead of being in fellowship with God, Adam and Eve became exiles. They were removed from the presence of God. And if you think of the story in Genesis 3, the way Adam responded to God, you would lose hope. There is no way for these creatures, for this man and his wife to come back. He already told God, the woman you have given me is the reason for this. In other words, you are the reason for what I am in right now. Open rebellion. What we would expect but expulsion and death. But God in his mercy gives the first words of hope in the scripture in Genesis 3:15. I'll put an enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God promised Adam and Eve that he will restore man again to his presence. I will reconcile them again through the sons or one of the sons of the woman. I'll bring them back to me. This is the scene in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. This is the scene that Moses is preparing us unto. And he's introducing the story. They were in the presence of God, now they are expelled, and now the story is how to bring them back. And this restoration will happen through a mediator. But this restoration will not be without struggle. There will be a struggle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And right after chapter 3, chapter 4 gives us an idea. One of the seed of the serpent kills one of the seed of the woman. Cain killed Abel. The struggle began. But God kept protecting the seed of the woman, kept his word, his promises. And as the story unfolds, we reach to the person through whom the Lord is going to fulfill these promises. In Genesis chapter 11, at the end of chapter 11 and the beginning of 12, we see how the Lord is calling a man called Abraham to make a covenant with him. And what is the heart of this covenant? To bless him, to bring him back to his presence. I will fulfill my promises of Genesis 3:15 through you, Abraham, and your seed. And this Abraham is the uncle of the guy that we are talking about today, Lot. When the Lord called Abraham, Lot followed him. And it was not just following an uncle. God's calling to Abraham was the calling of restoration to God's presence. Listen to these words from Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Notice this. He built an altar to the Lord. Worship. Being in God's presence. And called upon the name of the Lord. Worship. Things looked great. But suddenly, a turning point took place in the book of Genesis chapter 12. Abraham himself became weak, if I may say. And because of a famine, he went to Egypt. He did not stay in the land of the promise, the land of worship, and because of the famine, he went to Egypt. And you would know what the word Egypt would bring to the minds of Israelites as they are listening to these words. The land of slavery. The land of idolatry. And Abram went to Egypt. And we know what happened to Abram to Egypt. He was humiliated. He was about to lose his wife, right? But God miraculously, by a very special intervention, because our God is a God who keeps his words. He keeps his promises. He saved Abraham, he saved Lot, he saved the families, and brought them out of Egypt with great treasures. And Abraham learned the lesson. He learned the lesson. So we read in chapter 13 that Abram went back. If you go with me in chapter 13, it was not just going back to another land. It was not just escaping from Egypt. Look where Abraham is going in chapter 13. Verse 3. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. This is where Abraham returned. I am returning back to the presence of God. This is what is right. Worship. Fellowship. And Lot was with him. Becoming rich, both of them. Some struggle took place between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants. And then we read what Abraham and Lot will do from verse 10 in chapter 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Do you see the difference between Abraham and Lot? Abraham chose Canaan. Why? Because the altar is there. The presence of God is there. And what did Lot choose? He chose all the Jordan Valley. And why did he do this? Because it was like the land of Egypt. Egypt? Don't you remember what happened in Egypt? Haven't you seen what happened with Abraham? He chose Egypt. Lot chose the land of wealth, not the land of promise. Not the land of worship, not the land of presence, of God's presence. He chose the land of wealth. And interestingly, even before it was destroyed, Moses is giving us an idea about this place. From chapter 13, he's saying, Lot chose the place to be destroyed. This place is doomed to destruction. Apart from God, no matter how wealthy this place is, it is doomed to destruction. And this is what Lot chose. This is the context. This is how Lot ended to be in Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the background of chapter 19. And now we go to Lot himself. This is my second point, Lot the backslider. As I said, Lot is a believer, is a righteous man. We know this from the New Testament, as we will see in a moment. But he's a believer, he's a Christian, with bad choices and compromise. He's a believer who compromised and made many bad choices. Let's have a look at the bad choices that he made. He came out of Ur with Abraham. He joined him. He saw God's blessing to Abraham. He has seen what happened with Abraham in Egypt. He saw how the Lord redeemed Abraham, how the Lord saved Abraham and his family and his wife, even from the mighty Pharaoh. He saw God's power. Yet he chose intentionally to go to a place that reminds him of Egypt, Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the Lord, in his mercy, disciplined Lot. The chapter that Pastor Paul read early on this morning, chapter 14, it tells us about a war that took place and how Lot himself was taken as a captive in this war from mighty kings. It was discipline from God. But God, in his mercy, sent Abram and he saved Lot. And now think of it. If you are in Lot's place, what would you do? I have made a wrong choice. I have went to Sodom and Gomorrah. I should not have left Abraham. And now this happened to me. And the Lord, in his grace, in his mercy, saved me through Abraham. What would you do if you are Lot? Easy said, we would say, I will return to Abraham. I know now my fault. And I will return to Canaan, to the place of the presence, to the land of the promise. But this is not what Lot did. Amazingly, Lot went back to Sodom and Gomorrah. He went back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot continued to make bad choices, which was different from Abraham, who learned from his lesson when he went to Egypt once. But it was not just about bad choices. As I said, Lot was a compromiser. He knew how to compromise. And how do I know this? Because in the beginning, when you read chapter 13, chapter 14, Lot has a tent. He tried to pitch a tent around Sodom and Gomorrah, before Sodom and Gomorrah. But when you read chapter 19, Lot is in a different position in Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's go back now to chapter 19 and see where Lot is right now. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Whoa. You reach the gate of Sodom. You know who sit at the gate of Sodom? Or who sit at the gate of any city? The leaders, the famous, the wealthy, the well-known. And now Lot found his place in this rank. He's sitting at the gate of Sodom. And the question is, what was the price? What kind of compromise did you do, Lot, the righteous, to be in this place? Not only that, when the attack took place against the two angels who came under his roof, he went to the men in verse 7 and see what he calls the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wicked men, see what he calls them. I beg you, my brothers. His brothers. He called these wicked people his brothers. His daughters were to get married to men in this place. He became very, very acquainted with Sodom. And this is different from Abraham, right? Abraham, when he was trying to find a bride for his son, he knew that I can't take from this man. I'll get from my family, from Haran. But Lot didn't care. And the question is, how did Lot reach this place in Sodom? How did he reach this point? How much compromise did he do in this wicked place? And the question is for us today, not only for Lot. If we choose an evil place or context to live in, what is the price that we are going to pay? Are we going to compromise to keep certain position, to maintain certain positions? What kind of price are you going to pay, or am I going to pay? The world will always make you pay a big price for rubbish. The first question The first question believers need to ask themselves as they are going to move, as they are going to get a new job, to go to a new country, a new city, a new state. The first question, is there an altar in this place? Is there a healthy church that I'm going to be part of? Or I'm just going for the sake of well-being? Lot went for the sake of well-being, right? For wealth. Sodom was like Egypt. This is what he chose. Is there a Bethel? Is there an altar? Or are you going as a missionary to start an altar? Or you are going, you are moving, you are staying because of the wealth and comfort of this place? What kind of compromise? But remember, this Lot who made bad choices, who was compromising, he's righteous. And you may read the story and you may think, well, maybe Lot was not a believer at the end. Maybe he was someone who was deceiving himself. And because of the testimony of the scripture, I don't think this is right. Lot was a righteous person. If you open with me 2 Peter chapter 2, this is what it says about Lot. Especially in verse 7 and 8. About how God rescued righteous Lot. This is what his adjective is. This is his title, righteous Lot. But see what is this righteous Lot was doing, what he was experiencing in this place. Greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. Greatly distressed. Day after day he was vexing his soul, staying in this place. Greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. For as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Everything he saw, everything he heard was wicked. And this tormented his soul. Why? Because he was righteous. It seems that he did not live as wicked as they were. But he couldn't leave. And the question is, why? He was a righteous man living in the wrong place. We have a saying in Egypt that some people is trying to hold the stick from the middle. They want to be in the church with the people of God, but at the same time, they want to enjoy all the worldliness of the world. They try to keep both of them, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. As Elijah one day said, choose your God. Choose whom are you going to worship? Either God or Baal. Who is your God? And what are the consequences for these bad choices of Lot? What happened with him? In addition to the pain of this life of compromise, many times it makes your choices worse and worse, right? Staying in this kind of life, this kind of compromise, this kind of flattering with sin, with wickedness, staying in this context of evil, without any attention or any care to be in the presence of God or where an altar is, there are consequences, even for the people of God. We see Lot himself was in a very bad situation in Genesis 19. He had to choose between something bad and something worse. Lot himself told the people, take my daughters. And fathers here, you may understand this, right? You may understand the pain of it. How would you say this? How would you think that you are going to give your daughters to these evil men? Lot himself bring this option. How did you reach this point? This is what sin does even to the believers. There are consequences.
And it always leaves you between bad and worse.
Lot tried to use his influence in the city to protect the angels. But he even humiliated himself, trying to give his daughters to these men to be raped. And if we think of the end of the story, when you think of what Lot tried to do all of his life to protect, he wanted to stay in Sodom. He made his way up in Sodom. He was looking for the wealth. But think of the end of the story. What happened to all the wealth that Lot was trying to gain or to keep at the end? Everything was burned, right? Everything that Lot wanted to keep or tried to gain was burned. And it was God's mercy that Lot was separated from his possessions, from what he looked for. Because if he stayed with them, he would have been burned with them. But the Lord in his mercy saved Lot. Yes, I have been talking about Lot for so long now. But you know what? His choices, his backsliding did not only affect him. It affected his family. It was not only him, his family. Starting from his sons-in-law. They stayed in Sodom and Gomorrah and they were burned. And when he went to them and told them, this city will be burned, let's get out of here. They looked at him and said, you must be joking. What kind of craziness are you bringing to us now? You have been living here with us a long time and now you are telling us just leave, just escape, it will be burned. They mocked him and his wife, who we don't know her name, but she's famous, right? She's a famous person in the scripture. And this wife, it seems that she's an example of an unbeliever living in a Christian house. She has been around all the means of grace. She has seen, she has witnessed all the blessings of God, all the dealings of God with his people. Yet she loved Sodom and Gomorrah. She loved the wealth of Sodom and Gomorrah more than God himself. To the extent when the angels took them out of this place, telling them not to look back, she couldn't. She couldn't resist. And if you think why she was looking back, because looking back is longing back. Am I going to leave all this? Everything that we fought to keep all of our lives, I'm going to leave this? Yes, the angels brought them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Sodom and Gomorrah was not taken out of her heart. That's why she was burned like Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you compare this woman with another woman, with Sarah. Amazingly, the previous chapter tells us about Sarah and a 90 years old woman got life in her womb, being in the presence of God. And another woman is being burned because of her wickedness, away from God's presence. There is nothing but death. Even his daughters. Their story is a miserable example of a man who did not care to raise up his children in the fear of God. He chose to raise them up in this place. And I'm telling myself, I'm telling you, all the parents here, watch out. Where are you raising your children? What are they watching? What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What are they being educated? These girls, these young women were raised in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all remember what these two daughters did with their fathers and how they conceived from their father to keep their names. And out of this abomination, two nations came who had lots of struggles with God's people. through the Old Testament history. And again, if you compare these daughters of Lot, who decided to stay in Sodom and Gomorrah and to see the children of Abraham, what a difference. Both are believers, but with different choices. Again, in the previous chapter, chapter 18, this is what the Lord himself witnesses about Abraham. For I know him, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. What a witness from God himself. But this is what Lot brought to his family. Where do we want to raise our children? My brothers and sisters, sometimes we think we need to bring our children to the best place, to the most wealthy place, to the best universities, to the best colleges. We want them to get the best jobs, regardless if there is a good, sound church around or not. What is our priority for our children? What would you benefit if you raise the best doctor or the best ambassador in the world who will burn in hell forever? What would you gain? What would I gain? My final point, which I would say also the most comforting point, is who God is in this scene, in this chapter. We have seen the context, we have seen Lot, and now we will see who God is, how the Lord is revealing himself in the whole story. And I would summarize it in two words. God is the just, righteous God, and God is the merciful God. The story cries of God's justice and God's mercy. So, in verse 20, we see how the Lord reacts, what is happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. Behold, this city is near enough to flee, and it's a little one. Let me escape there. Is it a little one? And my life will be saved. And he's saying, yes, go there, because I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there. And what is this nothing that will be done? The Lord is going to burn Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord decided to burn this place. This is what the Lord decided to do, and this is what the Lord told Abraham. I have seen the wickedness of this place, and I'm going to punish it. In the previous chapter, chapter 18, the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave. Maybe things look at that time okay, but they were not in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord sees, the Lord hears, and he will judge. Christ himself in Luke 17, as we began, he says, people were eating, were drinking, were building, were getting married. They're doing their jobs. They're driving their cars. They send their children to their schools. They're watching their TVs. They're playing their games. Life looks normal. But it's not. The Lord sees. The Lord knows. And he's just. One day he will judge, as we have seen it here. Yes, this place was very wicked, and they reached the point they were proud of their wickedness, and it's all over the city. It's not only a small group of them, it's everyone, small, old. And the Lord sees and the Lord knows. And so this is what the Lord decided to do in verse 25 of chapter 19. This is what he decided to do to this place. And the Lord, he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. Everything that grew on the ground was burned. What is this? It's the righteousness of God. God is just. Sometimes we think when the judgment is postponed, we think that it will never come. This is not true. It will come. And the Lord has been teaching us this through the scripture again and again and again. He's a just God. He sees everything. He knows everything. I usually use this illustration. From these chapters, in chapter 18, the Lord went to Abraham and told him, Abraham, like this time next year, your wife will have a child. You will have a child. And then Sarah was behind the tent and she laughed. And then the Lord asked Abraham, why is Sarah laughing? And do you remember what Sarah did on this day? She said, I did not laugh. And the Lord said, yes, you did. He knows everything. He sees everything. The smallest thing. And he takes things seriously. He knows the heart. And he's just. But this is not the only attribute of God that is being communicated to us in this story. We see also God's mercy. And this story is a great story of God's mercy. You may say, Sodom and Gomorrah, chapter 19, is a great story of God's mercy. Oh, yeah. God's mercy is all over the place. He saved Lot from the very beginning. He saved Lot once from Sodom and Gomorrah through being captured, through being taken into exile, through sending Abraham to save him. He showed him his mercy. He gave him another chance, and Lot insisted. And then the Lord sent angels to save Lot. But even as we read the story, we see him saving the daughters of Lot himself from what Lot was trying to do with his daughters. While Lot said, take my daughters instead of these men, the Lord bring a strike against these men, and they were blinded. He saved the daughters. But for me, the greatest manifestation, if I may say, of mercy is in verse 16 of this chapter, Genesis 19. In verse 15, it says, the angels tell them, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But see what Lot did in verse 16? But he lingered. He is giving all the excuses to be left. All the excuses to be left. But see how the Lord was merciful to him. So the men seized him and his wife and his daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. I don't understand at this point what was in Lot's mind as he lingered on this day. What he was waiting for. But even as he lingered, the Lord is merciful and saved him, taking him out of his hands and bringing him out of the city. It was not Lot's dedication that took him out of the city. It was God in his mercy. He got him out of there. And you know what? This mercy was not without a foundation. This mercy had a reason. And the reason is Jesus Christ. You may say, how so? How so? It comes in verse 29. Why did the Lord save Lot? It was because of the covenant. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. This is the reason. Why was God so merciful to Lot? Because of his words to Abraham, because of his salvation promises through Abraham. If the Lord is merciful to us today, even through our compromise, even when we do these bad choices, it's because of Christ. Only because of this work.
we are being saved. The work of our Savior. The only way for avoiding the judgment, not the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, a way worse judgment, an eternal judgment. The only way to avoid this judgment is the way that the Lord provided in His mercy, in His Son. Only God's intervention is the way to save Lot and all of us today. This death, Christ's death on the cross, is a clear proof that God's judgment over sin will take place. And it's a great proof and manifestation of how merciful, how loving our God is. So, my brothers and sisters, as we meditate on this story this morning, we need to remember that this whole thing happened within a context of a family that enjoyed God's blessings. Lot's name was always attached to Abraham. He lived with Abraham. He joined Abraham when he left his land. He saw God's deliverance of Abraham. He experienced God's mercy through Abraham when he saved him from being a hostage. And he was saved because of Abraham in this scene. But we don't want to be like Lot. And I pray no one here would be like Lot's wife. But rather, to put Abraham as an example, who trusted God's promises, and even when he fell, he learned his lesson. And he realized that he's a sojourner. He was looking for another city. So should we. That we believe God's promises of salvation, considering the presence of God, the altar of God, is a greater riches than all the riches of Egypt or any other place all over the world. May the Lord bless these words to our souls. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that many times we do what Lot has done. We fall in the same traps. We look for the wealth. We look for the comfort. We are being deceived by the worldliness of the world. Lord, but we thank you for your great mercy and love towards us. Even as you teach us about these stories of judgment, you are being merciful to us, reminding us, warning us. Lord, we pray that we lift up our eyes to our great Savior, the one who bore our sins on the cross, so that we may realize that we are pilgrims, sojourners, looking for a better city, not a city that is made by man, but a city that is established by God, a city that will never be shaken, a city where your presence is. Lord, as sojourners, we pray that we live in this world looking forward, lifting our eyes to the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.